I want to read first of all in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and just going into verse 2. Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 10. Thus I say unto you, there is joy before the angels of God for one repenting sinner. Finally, in John 15 and verse 11. I have spoken these things to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy be full. I wonder what gives each of us joy. You have joy because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are your things, your thoughts all on material things? We think when we're younger that toys are things we want. As we get older, we've other things like clothes and bikes or cars or going on holiday gives us joy. Going away for 2 weeks, somewhere different. Maybe going to a wedding. Maybe combining the two. But things here give us joy. But they only give us joy for a very short time. There may be happy memories from some of these things, but they're passing. Look forward to 2 weeks holiday for quite a long time, and then you come back from holiday and it's all gone. Just the memories. But I want to speak to you about joy that's lasting, joy that's eternal, joy that can be yours. It doesn't depend upon circumstances or abilities or anything of that nature. It depends upon coming to know Jesus as Saviour. First scripture we read spoke about joy. It was on Jesus went the way of the cross on account of the joy that was set before him. You think that must have been, that was a joy worth having. If it took the Lord Jesus, someone who knew no sin, someone who'd never done anything wrong, it took him in obedience to the Father's will, but he took him to the cross. Time of suffering, a time of shame, a time when the burden of our sins was to be laid on him. But notwithstanding all that, it says, on account of the joy that was set before him, he endured those things. So something very special that Jesus had in mind, had in view when he went to the cross. Scripture in Luke tells us that there's joy in heaven over repenting sinners. It would be good if there was, that joy was multiplied tonight by repenting sinners. Those that acknowledge Jesus, that they've done wrong, and put their trust in Jesus. In that last scripture we read, Jesus wants us to have the same joy that he has, and that our joy might be full. That's what Jesus' desire was. And it's something that's eternal. No one can take it away. If you're trusting in Jesus and his finished work, something that's settled and completed, and those that know him as Saviour, those who welcome Jesus into their life, like we reminded of Zacchaeus last week. He came down from the tree and he received Jesus into his house, says with great joy. That joy can be yours if you'll let Jesus into your life. And so Jesus, on account of the joy that was before him, the joy that he might have those that belong to him with him forever, might be with him in heaven, might enjoy that place in the Father's house, it was because he wanted you and me, each one of us, indeed the whole human race was his desire. His work was sufficient, but it was on account of that that he went to the cross. Had Jesus done anything wrong? No, he'd done nothing wrong. Done nothing worthy of death, Pilate says. Jesus was sinless, holy, undefiled. But he went that way because you and I are marked by sin. And as sinners, we're away from God. God cannot have us in his presence. So if you're to have the joy of being in the Father's house, spending eternity with the Lord Jesus, that sin question had to be dealt with. And Jesus did that when he went to the cross. He was looking forward when each one in this room might be with him one day. But how was it to be? You look around the room, every one of us marked by sin. Every one of us unfit for God's presence. Whether you're the speaker or whether you're the hearer, it's the same. None of us could, in our own abilities or power or qualities, whatever they are, could have a place in heaven, could have that joy that the Lord Jesus has if we were still in our sins. And so Jesus willingly went to the cross that he might become the sin bearer, that he might bear your sins, that he might exhaust the judgment that should fall on you and me. If we do something in this world according to the law of the land, we must be punished. And if we're sinners, we need to be punished. That sin has to be dealt with. But God, knowing that you and I could do nothing for ourselves, sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross. And Jesus willingly went that way, that tonight we could tell you, I can tell you, that anyone who trusts in Jesus, anyone who repents, acknowledges to God that you've a sinner and that you've failed, you haven't done God's will, if you acknowledge that before him and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can be forgiven your sins and you can be sure that God will never raise those against you anymore. Your sins and iniquities I will never remember anymore. So you can have joy in heaven. You can have that joy that Jesus looked forward to. But you need to come to Jesus and put your trust in him. How do you know that he loves you? He laid down his life for you. When he went to the cross, Jesus could have called on 12 legions of angels. Or he could have spoken a word like he did in the garden. I am he, it says, and they fell away backward. But Jesus didn't. And when he was nailed to the cross, having been wrongly condemned, and beaten, and brutally treated, nailed to the cross and left there to die, Jesus could have spoken the word and come down from the cross. But it would mean that no one in this room could have been saved. No one could have had their sins forgiven. But Jesus had that wonderful joy ahead. The joy of having you, dear hearer, with him for eternity. And so he remained there, suffering on the cross, yes, at the hands of men, but in those hours of darkness, God poured out his wrath upon Jesus for my sins and your sins. The whole sin question was dealt with. Sin is abhorrent to God, but he loves a sinner. And so Jesus remained there on the cross, and he bore that judgment in those hours of darkness, that you and I might go free. So you know that Jesus loves you. And he couldn't have done anything more for you. No greater love, it says, as man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Jesus went to the cross. Why? That my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. All the things of this world that give us temporary pleasure or last for a season, but Jesus has the promise of eternal life. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You could be like Zacchaeus. If you let Jesus into your heart, you will know the joy of having him near you, one on whom you can rely, one who is one day going to come and take all those who trust him to be with him for eternity, forever. Heaven longs for people to rejoice, to repent. Verse in Luke I read, it's there is joy before the angels of God for one repenting sin. If there's anyone who hasn't yet repented, today is the time, and they will be rejoicing in heaven. Think of that, the joy that there will be when you come to Jesus for the first time. Joy in heaven, joy in the Lord, and you can have the joy too. Zacchaeus was a bit like us. He wasn't always perfect. Says he was a tax gatherer. He had a bit of a reputation. Maybe we were noted for not being very good. But Jesus makes no differentiation. He laid down his life for you, no matter what your past, what you've done. And it doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon you just trusting him. Because Jesus has done the work, and there's nothing to be added to it. You may think, well, perhaps Jesus didn't know all the things that I've done and said. He knows all about them. He knows all about your heart. He knows whether you belong to him. He knows whether you're doubting. And he just longs that if there is any doubt, it should be removed. One man, he had a son who was very ill. And the disciples couldn't cure him. And he came to Jesus. And he said, I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. It was difficult to trust in someone. Could Jesus deal with it? I can tell you, the Bible tells us that Jesus can deal with your sins. In fact, he has dealt with it. But will you believe? You can have the joy that Jesus had. The joy that took him through death, through that suffering, to lay down his life, to shed his precious blood, to pay the price, that you might go free, that you might be relieved of the burden of your sins, and have the assurance that he loves you and he wants you to be with him. And he wants you not only to have joy, but to have his joy. And your joy might be full. There's no lack with anything that Jesus provides. Think of them there on the side of the Lake of Galilee. They only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples said, "What is this for so many?" But Jesus brought in a blessing. And the food was distributed, and everyone had all that they could eat, and there was more left over. Don't worry that Jesus doesn't care for you or his love isn't insufficient. He has shown his love in laying down his life for each one of us. It's a hot day, so I'm not going to go on, but Jesus wants you to know the joy of having your sins forgiven and peace with God. He wants you to know that he loves you, and he wants you to know that he's going to come soon to take all those that know and love him, those whose names are written in the book of life, Jesus' perfect record. He is going to come to take us to be with himself. He doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to have that joy, to be in anticipation of his return. Just a few simple words, thoughts about joy. But may it be the part of each one here to put their trust in Jesus, for his name's sake.